Welcome to the Cult of Domesticity podcast, where two best friends tell each other stories about history, true crime, and other shenanigans. I'm Courtney.
I'm Ashley.
And today we have a guest from the FrankenPod podcast. Want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Morgan. I'm one half of the FrankenPod. We just do gothic and horror movies and stuff like that. Yeah, And books, sorry.
Yeah, it's hard to get your 30-second spiel down always.
I know. We've got the whole, you know, we're a podcast stitched together from the corpses of mystery, noir, and gothic literature and cinema, but sometimes that sounds so forced. And I feel, yeah.
I like it. I think it sounds great. It sounds really creative.
Yeah, it's good because my partner gets to watch the movies and I get to bombard him with all the literature facts that he hates. And he has to pay attention because he's in front of a microphone. And normally he's thrown out, but it's a captive audience. And, yeah, it's something we can do together.
So. Yeah, I got yelled at last night. My sister was watching the, I think, mid-2000s King Arthur movie with Keira Knightley in it.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's bad because I majored in history and I was like, I don't understand what period this is except for there's Romans, because there's like Roman armor, but then they have medieval horse armor, and then there's the Saxons, and I'm like, this isn't even the right period for the Saxon invasion.
Oh my goodness.
I can just imagine.
But yeah, so she was watching it and she told me to stop correcting it. I was like, I'm just so confused because the building of Hadrian's Wall is wrong.
I'm like that with horror films. People can't sit in detectives, television shows, procedurals and all that. Because I'm going, he did it. It really upsets people. And then I get upset when I got it wrong. And I'm just awful to watch things with. Really awful.
See, I'm the same way with movies. Like my family, my mom will not watch movies with me because I will remember like the lines and I'll say it with the movie and she's like, will you stop? I'm going, no, will not.
That basically explains why we were the worst roommates for everyone else, because we'd watch stuff in our room and just comment on it.
How are you supposed to enjoy a television show if you can't constantly interrupt the dialogue? What are these people doing?
Right. They're doing it wrong.
They are doing it wrong. Okay, yep. Ashley, I know you have a serial killer, even though we were like, we're going to go light.
I know.
Love a good serial killer.
We didn't go light with this one. I was going to try to justify it, but no, there's really not. She's pretty bad.
I know. I have a giant glass of whiskey.
Oh.
It's not all whiskey.
we need to have a talk after this?
It's whiskey and ginger ale. What else do you need?
Does not make it better. So we're going to talk about Mary Ann Cotton. And I want to say that I got all of my research from Murderpedia, which is our favorite. I love that website.
I want to know who thought, murderers, let's have a Wikipedia about it.
His name is Juan Ignacio Blanco. I know this because his name is in the header of Murderpedia.
Well, just pretend you did your due diligence there and scoured through hundreds of pages to find that information.
I mean, they did it for me, and they had all of the articles in a nice little line.
I'm not going to lie. His name reminds me of the bellhop from Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Esteban
Julio Ricardo Ramirez. Yes.
I like that you remember all of his name. It's a thing of beauty.
Thank
you. So, Mary Ann Cotton was born Mary Ann Robson in 1832 in the village of Low Moresley in Tyne and Wear in northern England, which is a really long way to say she's from northern England.
It's England. If the town name doesn't sound made up, it's not a town.
It's three words for one place.
Yeah.
So, actually, no, it's five, because we're really specific today. Her father was a miner who died when she was 8, like meaning he worked in a mine, not like he was under the age of 18. I always feel the need to make that distinction.
I'm going to say that's not even surprising that he died when she was 8.
No, not really.
Great labor practices.
really safe. It's good. So after he died, Mary and her brother were raised by their mother, who later remarried, and Mary is said to have loathed her stepfather, so that's promising.
Can we guess why she hated her stepfather? I'm going to go with he was a creep.
I mean, probably. We can't prove it, though. It just says that she doesn't like him. And she's not a great person to begin with, so maybe he was awesome, and she was just like, no. Mm-mm. So not a whole lot is known until she marries at age 20. So that would be 1852.
Sounds about right, though. I mean, she's lower class. Her father's a miner. What else would you know? I mean, nerdy me wants to go look it up. Just after my period, I want to go look it up. I know what websites to go to.
JSTOR. What's up?
Actually, no, you probably go to London Lives or something else because they're digitizing those records. You're welcome.
That's information I need to know.
Oh, yeah. Digital humanities projects when none of your records are digitized and you have to make everything for your documentation. Great. Great fun.
You know that picture of Buzz Lightyear where he's like reaching out and it's just nerds everywhere. I'm gonna say. Okay, so she gets married. She has 5 kids, 4 of whom die in infancy, which is, as it says, a high rate of infant mortality, even in the Victorian era.
Not really.
It's still, I'm always baffled by how they could just keep churning out kids just in case some of them died. I mean, it'd be so demoralizing. I couldn't imagine it.
Can you imagine that setting the mood? Like, yep, probably gonna die. Let's make another one.
Apparently they didn't necessarily name the kids just in case they died, which until like they were a year old, which is crazy.
Oh yeah. Venice has digitized, I believe it's Venice or Florence has digitized like all the census records. And so you can basically look at them pumping out the kids and then like a wife would do like 5 and then probably she died in childbirth and he'd marry again. And you're just like, no, thank you. But I mean, I think they just had that, like they love their kids and you have the detachment, but you're like, well, I need enough kids that if I get old and I need someone to take care of me.
Yeah, I guess they had to be more pragmatic.
Yeah.
Still very sad.
Yeah.
Can we pause for a minute and talk about how you're like, she would do like 5 and then someone else would tag in? Like it's a book report? Really?
We looked up this one guy in one of my class, in my Florence class, and like it was pretty much like that. His one wife would have like 5 kids and then she died in childbirth or some disease, and then she had another wife who had like 5 kids and then she died, and then the last wife outlived him when he was like 80 and he still had like kids who were like in their 30s and then some that were like in their like under 10, and you're like, so many children. How do you afford this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is like 1500s Florence, so. Real fun. So,
yeah. Real Catholic. And I'm okay with that. So, I realized that came out really judgmental. And it really shouldn't. So, okay. So, it says, she frequently argued with her husband who, quote, died suddenly in January of 1865.
Not sus at all.
Right? Yep. So she returns to Sunderland, and a few months later gets married again. Her new husband died in October of that same year from an unexplained illness.
I like unexplained illnesses. They're fun.
Good, because it's a pattern.
Yay!
Oh, good.
So in 1866, so the next year, her mother dies of a sudden illness. At the time, she was getting down with, Mary was getting down with a widower named James Robinson, who she married. And he had 4 kids by his late wife, but 2 died soon after he met Mary. And he was like, that's weird. And so he was suspicious of Mary, especially because she was like, you should get some life insurance. You know, it would be great. Get some life insurance.
She's like, Indiana Belle.
Yeah, she's Belle, the Belle Gunness of England. Yep.
Yeah.
All of the pictures that I tried to find of Marianne Cotton were of Belle Gunness in real life. I'm like, can we not? That's why there was only like two pictures of the drive. Because I'm like, all of the others, Belle Gunness.
Yeah.
Okay, so in late 1869, having borne him a daughter, Mary walked out on Robinson, and he's the only husband to survive a marriage to her.
Jeepers.
He probably did not eat anything she cooked.
He just starved for like a year. He was like, hard pass, thanks, no. Everyone else is dying of genuine hunger, and he's just like, no, I don't need it. It's okay.
I'm going to go to this pub around the corner because I know they're not actually trying to actively poison me.
And given that it was Northern England, it was probably like the King's Arms or something like that. Just a real...
I could go for a meat pie right now.
Anyway. We're in the middle of a story about a serial killer and you're like, what a meat pie.
Hey.
After the episode we just did, you're like, I want a meat pie.
Yeah.
Now I'm just picturing. We need to move on, please.
You're in charge of that.
All right. So Robinson survives. He's like the best off out of this whole story.
Good for him.
In 1870, Mary marries another widower. Again, this is kind of a pattern. His name is Frederick Cotton, and she's the one whose surname he took. No. He's the one whose surname she took.
I was about to say, very progressive for that time.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm just bad at words.
You don't even have whiskey. Come on.
This is true. Okay. So she took his surname, and that's the name by which she's usually known, even though technically they weren't legally married because she never divorced Robinson. She just kind of left what we call a common law divorce, and it's not actually a thing, for the record. She had a son with Frederick, and pretty soon thereafter, Frederick's sister, two sons from a previous marriage, and a number of his friends, just an unnamed, unspecified number, die after sudden illnesses, and Frederick himself moves along and shuffles off the mortal coil in December of 1871. And he was soon followed by the baby Mary had by him. So, we're just rattling him off.
Did you just say mortal coil?
Yes. Have you not heard of this?
No.
Oh my god. What? Where have you been? What are you doing with your life?
Taking care of, like, 20 animals.
That's fair.
I was like,
okay,
you know.
So let's count. So we have husband number one.
I'm just going to keep drinking until you're done with this. Let's go.
One, two, three, four kids by husband number one. That's five. Mother. Husband number two. That's out of order. Anyway, two of husband number three's kids. Good old Freddy.
I can't keep drinking. You're taking too long. My mouth is really cold.
I thought you were doing a sip for each, not all the whole time I was going to talk. If you told me that, I would have gone longer.
You forget I played rugby. I'm a champion at this.
I know. That's why I figured you would know better. So, okay. We're up to, what, 10 now?
Yeah.
Ready.
The undisclosed number. So let's go with even 20.
Yeah, we'll just call that 5.
I was going to go with 20, so.
Well, no, because that was his friends, the baby that they had together. I mean, the number of victims on Murderpedia is 1 to 21 plus.
Why 1?
And we have...
Just, yeah, what is the...
We only have, like, two more. And then we get to talk about how she got caught, which was really funny to me anyway.
Wait, I'm curious, why did they say 1 to 21? Clearly she's murdered a couple people.
I mean, there's at least, well, so she was only ever tried for one, I think.
Excuse me?
I might be wrong here. yeah, there was only one, I think there was only one that she was tried for, and the rest she's all just like heavily implicated and is the only one who is person of interest in that case.
Morgan, feel free to interrupt us. We do it all the time.
I'm actually just sitting there trying to work out, is she doing better than Belle Gunness at this point, or is she
technically yes, because she started in like, let's call it 1865, and right now we're in 1872, and she's already got 20 bodies on her, and no one is suspicious. Who's still around to talk about their suspicions? So technically, I think she might be.
Wouldn't happen in social media nowadays, would it? I mean,
no. One would hope not.
Actually,
the sausage factory thing happened in social media. So,
yeah,
who knows?
And the who's the other Cleveland? The guy who had the girls in the basement.
Yeah, the guy who kidnapped those three ladies.
Arius. Arius.
Yes.
Cleveland has had a lot of really fun true crime lately, it seems like.
I keep thinking he's related to Jodi Arias, and he's
not.
But they have the same last name. She's fun. We should do her one day. So, I didn't know that was a thing. So, spring of 1872. Okay, so Frederick dies in 1871, followed by the baby that Mary had by him. She remarries with that new husband again, quickly dies after a short illness. So, I'm going to go ahead and say she doesn't really like most of her husbands. I don't know why she keeps marrying them, unless she assumes.
Money.
Well, no, but like, if she had to press Robinson into getting life insurance, one would assume she'd had to do the same for the others, unless she knew they already had policies in place that named an unnamed future wife as a beneficiary.
Sounds like a lot of effort and men to deal with in general.
Speculation, because like, if they don't have a life insurance policy and she's already like started in with the poison, like, not just gonna waste that arsenic. So
I'm thinking they already had money.
Maybe, but like, I don't know.
You gotta be wealthy enough to marry, so.
Yeah, but if her mom and dad are both dead, like, who's gonna force the dowry thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like, what work would have been available to her? Like, if she wasn't any good at, they had the milliners and all that they could do, and they were terrible conditions. Prostitution, there weren't factory many options. Yeah, factory work was really awful, the conditions. So maybe she just didn't want to.
I think she was a nurse, though.
Oh.
Because when I was looking for images of her, like, one of the pictures suggested searches was Nurse Marianne Cotton.
So she had skills.
She had some skills of a certain kind that just were not great.
But nurses have a really bad reputation at this point.
Back then, yeah. So, okay, so one of the few surviving stepchildren, Charles Cotton, whose father had been our bestie, Freddie, he dies suddenly too. So word quickly spread around the neighborhood concerning the way so many of Mary's nearest and dearest had died so suddenly over the previous two decades, which... Well, no, it would have been a lot sooner than two decades before people were like, she's got a trail of bodies. What's happening? But apparently not.
In the background, just playing Let the Bodies Hit the Floor?
Yes. So it says Thomas Riley, who was a minor government official, was suspicious of the death of Charles Cotton. Mary had told him that Charles was in the way of her plans of getting remarried, which, I'm sorry, but how? Like, he's your stepson. I don't even know if I want to know the answer to that. Anyway, Furthermore, he had appeared very healthy up until his sudden death, which was supposedly due to gastric fever. As she tried to collect on the life insurance she'd taken out on Charles's life, but the insurance company refused to pay until the body had been investigated more thoroughly. So, like, she was like, oh, fine, and they exhumed him, and they found, like, a big trace of arsenic in his stomach. So, in total, we have 8 of her own kids, 7 stepchildren, her mother, 3 husbands, and a lover, and, quote, an inconvenient friend.
An inconvenient friend. I like that.
I did, too. I was like, oh, episode title.
Yeah.
So, pretty much she got caught because she tried to cash in on the life insurance, and they actually asked a question for once in their life. And, yeah, so she was executed by hanging in Durham Prison on March 24th, 1873. There was a nursery rhyme that was made up about her.
Yes.
That was sung after she was hanged. And it's Mary Ann Cotton, dead and forgotten. She lies in her bed with her eyes wide open. Sing, sing, oh, what can I sing? Mary Ann Cotton is tied up with string. Where? Up in the air, selling black puddings a penny a pair. And black puddings meaning black pudding, which is a type of sausage made with pig's blood.
So. Yeah. That's a terrible one.
They really didn't have TV or anything, did they? They just had to themselves with
snow.
Awful. Awful lyric.
So that's what happens when we try to keep things light. We just get Mary Ann Cotton.
Oh, Ashley.
The only thing, so the pictures in the drive, hang on, so there's a picture of what we can assume to be is her mugshot, but it's really, like, it's just a photo of her with her mouth open, looking great. She's real excited about having her picture taken. And then there's, like, a drawing of, I just read the caption on the picture. I'm sorry. This is the first sign of convalescence, writing a letter home. Which, I'm sorry. That's funny.
So that's her?
That's her. Doesn't she look awesome?
She looks like a ghost. Or a ghoul.
She does. She's like what you imagine a Victorian ghost to be.
That midway part is severe.
Look at that widow's peak, though.
I'm debating if that's her hair or a bonnet.
I think it's, like, her hair, and then the part that comes up along the top of her head is the bonnet. But, like, it's her hair in the front. You know what I mean? Because you can kind of see, like, a bow.
Yeah.
Side note, I would definitely wear that cape. Just for the hell. Well.
I mean, no one's saying she didn't have great fashion sense. We're just saying she was kind of a dick about it. And then, yeah, so there's a picture. And that's what I think, like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure she worked as a nurse.
Okay.
And that came up. That was, like, the second thing that came up when you searched Mary Ann Cotton.
Wasn't there a TV show about her recently?
I'm sure there was. I don't remember what it was called. There have been, like, books and movies and all kinds of stuff about her just because she's heavy in the... She's claimed, like, people call her Britain's first female serial killer, but I think there was someone before her, but I don't remember who.
Probably.
And also, it was a Daily Mail headline, so, like, grain of salt there.
Oh, the Daily Mail.
My favorite British trash news site.
I know.
But yeah, so that's Mary Ann Cotton.
That was, yeah.
She's a winner.
Well done.
That was, yeah, good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Murderpedia. They really do make our job so much easier.
Oh, yeah. And I promise I will try to find one with... Actually, no, I think the next one I'm thinking about doing might be more death.
It's okay. The next one that I'm doing, no one's dying, so.
Yeah, let me see.
It might be another plane crash, but everyone lives.
Oh, wait. No one's dying unless it's in a comical way.
Well, then it doesn't count. That's fine. There's comedy involved. There you go.
Yeah, there's someone. Oh, I had a plug because I'm going to try to get on. I'm going to My Favorite Murder this weekend. I'm going to try to get on that fucking stage real hard. I'm
so jealous. So jealous.
You have to understand, Ohio is like, we're only remembered during elections because we're important, because we have enough electoral votes to count. Otherwise, no one cares.
Yeah, I know. No one cares about New Hampshire anymore because it's not election season.
I enjoy it.
My podcast is called The Frankenpod, and we've done Frankenstein. And we're going to be doing Dorian Gray next, which is going to be fun because Dorian Gray is the worst. He's a horrible person. And also we're going to be doing Bride of Frankenstein coming up soon. So my partner watches the films and I read the books and I tell him how wrong he is about everything.
And how often are you guys releasing new episodes?
I'm releasing little ones every week, but we do the big ones once a month because my partner works in theatre, so he doesn't get much time off.
Well, thank you, Morgan, for joining us. And
thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Cult of Domesticity. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, Chorus, Spotify, and Podbean. If we're not on your preferred app, let us know, even though you're listening to us right now. Remember to rate and review and subscribe on iTunes. It's the best way to spread the word.
You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Domestic Podcast and at The Cult of Domesticity on Instagram to get the episode tip, recipe of the week, and additional information about the week's topics. If you'd like to suggest a recipe or topic, you can email us at Okay. If you'd like to suggest a recipe or topic, you can email us at domesticpodcast@gmail.com.
High five?
High five.
You can join us in our high five.
This feels like a weird salute right now. Should have gone left-handed. That was not okay.